Right.
Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 9, Text 37. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Etanmatam samatista paramena samadina bhavankalpa vikalpeshu vimuyati karachit. O Brahmad, just follow this conclusion by fixed concentration of mind, and no pride will disturb you, neither in the partial nor in the final devastation. Purport. As in the Bhagavad Gita 10th chapter, the personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, has summarized the whole text in four verses, namely, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo. So the complete Srimad Bhagavatam has also been summarized in four verses as Aham Evasam Evagre. Thus the secret of the most important Bhagavatite conclusion has been explained by the original speaker of the Srimad Bhagavatam, who was also the original speaker of the Bhagavad Gita, the personality of God and Lord Sri Krishna. There are many grammarians and non-devotee material wranglers who have tried to present false interpretation of these four verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam, but the Lord himself advised Brahmaji not to be deviated from the fixed conclusions the Lord had taught him. The Lord was the teacher of the nucleus of the Srimad Bhagavatam in four verses, and Lord Brahma was the receiver of the knowledge. Misinterpretation of the word aham by the word jugglery of the impersonalist should not disturb the strict followers of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the text of the personality of Godhead and its unalloyed devotees, who are also known as the Bhagavatas, and any outsider should have no access to this confidential literature of devotional service. But unfortunately, the impersonalist, who has no relation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sometimes tries to interpret Srimad Bhagavatam by his poor fund of knowledge in grammar and speculation. Therefore, the Lord warns Brahma, and through Brahma, all future devotees of the Lord in disciplic succession, that one should never be misled by the conclusion of the so-called grammarians or by other men with poor fund of knowledge, but must always fix the mind properly via the parampara system. Okay. So the Chaturshloki Bhagavatam was spoken. And this is the conclusion by Lord Krishna to Lord Brahma. Just to put it in the context of the discussion, the second of Maharaj Prickett's questions is, what is the Lord's form in transcendence? Which is a question that was asked by Lord Brahma to Krishna. What is your form in transcendence? Even though he directly saw it. So that question that was asked to Sukadeva Goswami, the second question asked by Maharaj Prickett to Sukadeva Goswami, what is the Lord's form in transcendence, was answered by Sukadeva Goswami by relating the story of Lord Brahma performing austerities and getting personal darshan of the Supreme Lord. Within that story, Lord Brahma saw the Lord's form in transcendence, because he saw the spiritual world was manifest by his austerity, which was in fact devotional service, because he performed the austerity not for his sense gratification, but for the pleasure of the Lord. And his whole internal conflict is that he was a little bit bewildered on how to serve Krishna. So the answer tapa was in response to his internal bewilderment. and it was the activity he needed to do to empower him to create the world for the service of Krishna, because we explained before, the material world is also Krishna's energy, and it's also serving Krishna. So he performed those austerities and got personal darshan of the Lord. And then the Lord said that you can have whatever benediction you want, but the highest benediction is actually to get my darshan. And then he asked some questions, and the answer to those questions were the Chatur Shloki Bhagavatam. And specifically, the last question was how to do this work or service without becoming overcome by ahankara or pride or the material conception of life. In other words, we need to do work in the world, but how to do that work and not become entangled by karma. Karma means work, but karma also means the reaction to work. Because generally you work for sense gratification. You act for sense gratification. Therefore, in the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada specifically defines karma as the consciousness by which we get a material body. In other words, fruitive consciousness, working selfishly, is the consciousness that gets us a material body. We're so prone to that. So how to do it? So that you won't become entangled within the world. So the chapter Shloki Bhagavatam was spoken, and I can just give a quick summary of the first verse discussed that Krishna is God and why he's God. Just like the first verse of the Bhagavatam explains, Krishna is God. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, and why he's God. Jadmad Yasya, because everything is coming from him. Everything is his energy. There's nothing separate from Krishna. So similarly, the same verse says the same thing, that it was I, speaking to Brahma, it was I that was existing before the creation. What you're seeing now is also I, and I exist after. So in other words, I, Krishna, who's speaking to Brahma, I am God. Because I am the ultimate substance of everything. I am the source of everything. And everything is my energy. This is the definition of God. And then he explained, what illusion is. Illusion is not to see that reality. What is Maya? That's also Krishna's energy. Is not to see that reality. What reality? That everything has a connection with Krishna. And that's what Maya is. Maya is to see something as separate from Krishna. And the analogy given by Krishna to Lord Brahma is just like a reflection in the darkness. The reflection in the darkness is dependent on the original source of light, and the reflection is dependent on the original source of light. But the illusion is to see that reflection of light as independent of the source. That's the material world. There's energy of Krishna. But the illusion in the material world, just like the glaring light in the darkness, is that it sparkles in a way and we become enamored with it. And then we think that it's separate from God. It has no other source. And then Prabhupada gave that very clear analogy to help us understand it. Like scientists or psychologists or they look at the wonders of this world, they look at the energy, and they can't connect it to the original source. And that's the illusion. Therefore the goal of life is to actually have that darshan, to actually see Krishna. And the example was given. Just as material elements are within everything, but simultaneously they have a separate existence. So similarly, the highest consciousness that one could have, when one actually has love of Krishna, and he actually is fixed in this reality, and he's free from the illusion that things are separate from Krishna, because of his tense desire to love and see Krishna, He sees Krishna within everything and simultaneously in his own abode. And this is prema bhakti. Prema bhakti is when you see Krishna everywhere. Krishna is manifest everywhere. Just wanted to read again how Prabhupada explains this vision of prema bhakti. Herein lies the mystery of his transcendental knowledge. This mystery is transcendental love of Godhead. And one who is surcharged with such transcendental love of Godhead can without difficulty see the personality of Godhead in every atom and every movable or immovable object. And at the same time, he can see the personality of God in his own abode, Goloka, enjoying its eternal pastime, his eternal associates, who are also expansions of his transcendental existence. It is sense gratification that covers Brahman or the spiritual energy. And when you're in the mood of the ultimate sacrifice, of wanting to serve Krishna's senses intensely, then the veil of Maya is removed. And Prabhupada said a devotee in that stage is thrilled every moment because everywhere he sees Krishna. Then that's why the verse is quoted in Brahma Samhita, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Valochanena Santasadaiva Hidayeshu Valokriyanti Yashama Sundama Chintagunasarupa. I worship the original personality of God at whom the pure devotees, their eyes smeared with the ointment of love of God, always observe within their heart. The vision of the devotee is not ordinary. In other words, as the universal elements are both within and without, similarly the Lord's name, form, quality, pastimes, entourage, as they are described in the revealed scriptures, or as performed in Vaikuntha Loka, far, far beyond the material manifestation, are factually being televised in the heart of the devotee. We're not separated from God by material distance. We're separated from God by our consciousness. So when the consciousness becomes pure, you have access to God everywhere. You can see him everywhere. But at the same time, you have the proper understanding that he's also aloof. You have that vision of him everywhere. And you can see that even when Uddhava returned to Vrindavan and he gave the message to the gopis, and he said that, I never separated because I'm there in my bhava expansion. Krishna's there within his devotion because he's the Supreme Lord. He's not restricted by time and space. And we're only in this material world separated from him by our consciousness. It's our consciousness that is separating us from God. So as soon as the proper consciousness is there, which is priti, the desire to give Krishna pleasure, the prema, the love of God, and as soon as that proper consciousness is in the heart, then one has immediate access to Krishna within the heart, and he sees him in his personal form in the heart of every living entity. And at the same time, he understands that that's a reflection of Krishna in his own abode. And then the last chatur shloki is, what is the process? The process is to search after this. That's actually what sadhana bhakti means. Sadhana bhakti means the engagement of the senses with a particular objective. And the engagement of the senses with the objective of pleasing Krishna, and the engagement of the senses with the objective of attaining love of God. So this is sadhana bhakti, etavat. Up to this, eva jigyasam tatva. But the student, a person who is searching after the Supreme Absolute Truth, in other words, Vedesta sarveham eva vedyo vedanta krit vedavid eva cham. Of all the Vedas, I am to be known. This is the purpose of self-realization. to understand Krishna. So a person is searching after the absolute truth. He must search, certainly search for it up to this. He must search it up to this love of Godhead. And he must do it by approaching a spiritual master and inquiring both directly, indirectly. Directly means what to do. Indirectly means what not to do. Prabhupada also explains directly means direct Krishna consciousness. Indirectly means also vanashram. In all circumstances, it's universally applicable. So this is the whole Krishna conscious philosophy, basically, you could see. Even it says, later, we're going to read today how it's expanded from the four verses to 10 subjects and expanded. And it says that it holds everything, so you can see. What does the Bhagavatam begin with? Jadma yasya yataha. And what does the Chaturshloki begin with? Aham evasam evagre. Same thing. If Jadmadhya says that Krishna is that person from whom everything else is coming. And the other says that I existed before everything. So that means everything is coming from Krishna. Same thing. So this is complete knowledge. The absolute truth, the relationship of Krishna to the material energy, it's his energy. The goal of life, love of Godhead, and the process to get the process of getting it. Approaching a spiritual master and searching for it, which means engaging your senses in Krishna service, practicing sadhana bhakti. So from this instruction, the more you meditate on it, the more you hear about it, you see that all philosophy comes from these four verses. Which is three subjects. The first two verses are Sambandha Gyan. And I explained before that Sambandha Gyan means understanding of the relationship of matter, spirit, and the controller of both. So you can see the first verse is, what is the relationship of Krishna to the material world? And when you understand Krishna's relationship to the material world, then you can understand your relationship to Krishna. If you understand Krishna's relationship to the material world as the creator, then you understand he's God. And therefore you can understand what your relationship is with him. But if you think that Krishna is a product of the material world, or that everything is one, then you have no relationship with Krishna. So there's Sambandha Gyan in the first two verses. The third verse is Prayojana Gyan, which is to be free from Maya and see the truth that everything is Krishna's energy. The person Krishna. Prabhupada gave that example that the impersonalist, Brahma said, what is the first verse? It is I. Brahma, he's addressing. It is I who is existing before. The Prabhupada said how the impersonalist, they say that Brahma is coming from Krishna, he's also I, so there's no difference. But then Prabhupada explains that there is a difference. Because one is the controller, one is the predominator, and one is the predominated. The person, so Krishna, who's a person, speaking to me, he's existing before. So these four verses, and then the last verse, Abhideya Tattva. How to achieve the goal of life based on that knowledge of your relationship to Krishna. So, now, the very logical conclusion by Lord Brahma. He said, now, just follow this conclusion by fixed concentration of mind. Follow this conclusion that Krishna is God by fixed concentration of mind. That's sadhana bhakti. Right, it says, samat tishta, remain fixed, matam, in this conclusion. Samadina, by concentration of mind. Paramena, by the supreme. So Mother Karthik was mentioning the relationship between this and the Chatur Shloki. So just see the relationship. Aham sarvastra prabhavo matas sarvam pavartate iti bhutva bhajante ma buddha bhava samabhita. I am the source of the material and spiritual world. The wise who know this engage in my devotional service. So this is the same thing. This is buddha bhava. By having the right conception, you can have the right result. You can have the right, the wise engage in my devotional service. From knowledge, you engage in devotional service. From the right sambandha jnana, from the right understanding of the relationship with Krishna, then you understand the goal of life, and then you engage in devotional service. So he's saying, oh Brahma, just follow this conclusion by fixed concentration of mind, and no pride will disturb you. You will not be bewildered by this conception that I am the controller. If you understand that, I'm seeing that myself. When I studied very thoroughly the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, remember I was studying it first verse, and had that student, James. He was like the Buddhist, so he was so eager, and he was just like, you know, like a good student, he would like tilt his head and listen. And we got into that, and it was, you know, that Krishna's achintya shakti, his achintya veda veda tattva was so clear what it meant that he was God. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. I had an interesting realization of this word vasudev. See, vasudev means the son of Vasudev. But he's the son of Vasudev, which means he's a person and he's aloof. But Vasudev also means God who is everywhere. And I checked this both with Gopi Pranadana and Kushakrata. So Vasudev also means God who is everywhere. So this is the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's the son of someone, but he's everywhere at the same time. That's the vision of praying. He's everywhere, but he's the son of everything. This is the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. It's a chintya shakti. And just meditating on that, bhumir apo nalo vayu kamana, earth, water, fire, air, ether, everything is Krishna's energy. It's him, it's Krishna, he's God. He's pervading everything. When you start hearing that and understanding that, it definitely, with that conception, the pride can't come. I am the controller. You can't feel that way when you hear and chant in the proper way again and again and again and again, because there's so tendency to become bewildered by pride. Prabhupada had such a beautiful way of expressing it there's so many universes and there's one universe, and then the universe is so many planets, and there's one planet Earth, and on the Earth planet there's so many continents, and there's one continent North America, and there's one country, the United States, there's so many states, and in that state, you know, there's one state, California, and California has so many, you know, cities, and there's one city, LA, and LA has so many blocks, and on one block, there's so many houses, and one temple, and there's one person. The temple commander who thinks he's the supreme controller. To become bewildered by become bewildered by it. It's only out of ignorance that we think we're something. We think that we're our little knowledge, our little power. To become fixed in this conclusion. And I myself, I'm seeing how it's helping me to nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata, regularly hear the Bhagavatam about Krishna's glory, about Krishna's sweetness, about Krishna's quality. Again and again and again. Hearing so that you are not disturbed by this material conception. The maya. What to speak of the desire. You don't even have the right conception. So one should remain fixed, and if you hear this, you won't become bewildered also by Mayavadi philosophy, because there's a hum evasa, nevagre, I am before. In the Mayavadi philosophy, you won't get the wrong conceptions if you hear the Bhagavatam. It's very interesting. You'll be fixed in the right concentration, the right conclusion. At the very, very beginning of this whole story of Lord Brahma, this is the last verse. And what the first verse said, O King, the personality of God, being very much pleased by Brahma because of his non-deceptive tenets, presented his eternal and transcendental form, and that is the objective goal for purifying the conditioned soul. Atma-tattva vishud artam. That you'll have pure conception of Atma-tattva. And what did Prabhupada say? The two misconceptions of Atma-tattva, the wrong conception of the jiva is to identify the material body with the pure soul, and the wrong conception of Paramatma is to think of them on an equal level with the living entity. So you'll get the shuddhi Atma-tattva. You'll have the pure conception of Atma-tattva. So just follow this conclusion, and you won't be deviated by the wrong conception that the living entity is equal to the Paramatma, or the living entity is the material body and the controller. You won't become deviated by this. It's so nice, because anytime in the Bhagavatam when we see there's some instructions, we see the conclusion. What the result will be, that the mind becomes fixed, and the mind will not become disturbed. So also here, you won't become pride, you won't be disturbed in the execution of your service by your material desires or by any misconceptions. And Prabhupada also in the purport here, he discusses why, because what's the nature of devotional service? You become satisfied. When you hear the transcendental knowledge, and he quotes three verses, Brahma Bhuta Pasanatma Nasochiti Nakanchiti Samasarveshu Bhuteshu Madhbhaktava, even at the beginning. You samasarveshu, you become equal poise, your mind. No hankering, no lamenting. Then he quotes Atmaramas Kumunayo, Nigranat Apyukrame, Kovanta Hoistikim Bhakti. Even the one who's satisfied in heart, he becomes attracted to Krishna's pastime. And then he quotes Evam Prasanna Manaso, Bhagavad Bhakti Yogata, Bhagavad Tattva Vidyana Mukta Sangas. So this is a completely satisfied state. You become detached and you realize Krishna. You remain fixed in devotional service. Okay, now Sukadeva Goswami has answered the question, what is the Lord's form in transcendence? In such a beautiful way, because he told this whole story where we saw the Lord's form in transcendence, and we also saw the Lord's instructions about his form in transcendence. So it answered it in both ways, both by precept and example, and by the precept, it's the precept of the Supreme Personality of God who's explaining himself. What is his form in transcendence? The hum evasam evagre. It's I who's existing before the creation. Now, the personality of God, and after I'll also exist. I, the person. So Sukadeva is going to continue now telling this story to Maharaj Cricket. Sri Shuka Uvacha Sampradishyaiva Majano Jananam Parameshtinam Pashyatas Tasyatad Rupam Atmano Yarunadari. Sukadeva said to Maharaj Cricket, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, after being seen in his transcendental form, which is Atmano Rupam, the form of the absolute personality of God, Hari. So after being seen in his transcendental form, instructing Brahmaji, the leader of the living entities, he disappeared. In this verse, it is clearly mentioned that the Lord is Ajna, or the Supreme Person, and that he is showing his transcendental form, Atmano Rupam, to Brahmaji while instructing him in the summarization of the Bhagavatam in four verses. So, this is, And Brahmaji is called, and this term is used throughout the Bhagavatam to describe Lord Brahma, Paraneshtinim. He is the supreme leader, and Prabhupada explains, he's the supreme leader. The Bhagavatam gives us information of the supreme Vedic literature, and it was personally instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to Brahmaji, that the leader of the living entities might broadcast the message to all in the universe in order to teach the supreme knowledge of Bhakti Yoga. So this was in the beginning of the creation. Lord Brahma wanted to know how to create the world. He performed tapasya. And he was creating the world for the enlightenment of the living entities. So he not only responsible for constructing it, but for disseminating knowledge within it. And we explained before, without that function, that completes the creation. And therefore, if there's a description of creation, just like when Narada asked Lord Brahma about creation, he explained creation, and the end of explaining creation was, he told Narada that this knowledge of the creation has to be disseminated. Because if the knowledge of the creation is not disseminated, aham eva sam eva gre, then people can't come to the platform of devotional service, which is the purpose of the creation. So naturally, after Lord Brahma performed the austerities for creation, he was also instructed with the knowledge that people in the creation need to come to the platform of receiving. The creation actually works to condition the living entities to a point where they want to hear. And then that perfects the creation. So on the disappearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who is the object of transcendental enjoyment, for the senses of devotees, Brahma, with folded hands, began to recreate the universe, full with living entities, Purvavat, as it was previously. So after receiving instruction from the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his representative, one should offer his obeisances and discharge his duty according to those instructions. So he met the Guru. He was instructed. He took the instructions. He folded his hands, offered his respect, and then he began to do his service. Specifically, the word that's given to describe Krishna here, on the disappearance of Indriya Arteya unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the objective of the senses. He's Vishaya. He's the object of our pleasure. And Prabhupada's purport explains that this is the whole purpose of the universe. The whole purpose of the universe is to bring the living entities to the point of understanding that the purpose of their senses is to be used for the pleasure of Krishna. The personality of Gaudiya is the object of fulfilling the senses of all living entities. Illusion by the glaring reflection of the external energy, the living entities worship the senses instead of engaging them properly in fulfilling the desires of the Supreme. And therefore, the Hari Bhakti Shudaya says, Akshno Palam Pradrishish Darshanam Hi. How does that go? Akshno Palam Pradrishadatya Sangha. I don't have the key, but. O devotee of the Lord, the purpose of the visual senses is fulfilled simply by seeing you. And to touch your body is the fulfillment of bodily touch. The tongue is meant for glorifying your quality. Because in this world, a pure devotee of the Lord is very difficult to find. So, what is that? Sarvapati Vinir Muktam Tatparatvain Anirmalam Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam Bhakti Rishi. The purpose of the senses. Originally, the senses of living entity were awarded for this purpose, namely to engage them in the transcendental loving service of the Lord or that of his devotees. But the conditioned souls, illusioned by the material energy, became captivated by sense gratification. Therefore, the whole process of God consciousness is meant to rectify the conditioned activities of the senses and re-engage them in the direct service of the Lord. Lord Brahma thus engaged his senses in the Lord by recreating the conditioned living entities to act in the recreated universe. So, this is the process. Prajapatir Dhammapatir Ekadanyama Yaman Padram Prajanam Andichan Atishtat Svartakamyayai. Thus, once upon a time, the forefather of living entities and the father of religiousness, Lord Brahma situated himself in acts of regulative principles, desiring self-interest for the welfare of the living entities. So, it's very interesting. He desired the welfare of the living entities. But in desiring the welfare of the living entities, what does he do? He situates himself first in religiousness and acts of regulative principles. Because unless you're properly situated, you can't help others. So Lord Brahma's whole function is for the benefit, is to help and serve the living entities. But as Prabhupada says in the purport, one cannot be situated in an exalted position without having undertaken a regulated life of rules and regulations. Atishtat, situated, niyamam, rules and regulations. Dharmapati, the father of religiosity. Desiring Bhadram Prajanam, the welfare of the living entity. So, an unrestricted life of sense gratification is animal life, and Lord Brahma, in order to teach all concerned within the jurisdiction of his generation, taught the same principles of self-control for executing higher duties. The pure devotees of the Lord, like Lord Brahma, and persons in the chain of the disciplic succession do not do anything to instruct their subordinates without acting accordingly. So you can see that it's such a perfect example. He hears the instruction from the Supreme Lord. He's directly connected to him in the disciplic succession because he's Adi Kavya. He's the first poet, intelligent person. He gets the instruction, executes the instruction, and then, after being enlightened in knowledge, begins to execute his duty. It's interesting, before he began his work, he studied the Bhagavatam. That's also a nice procedure. I always remember Yadu with his 10 years of study. I just imagine when he finally goes out to preaching, I suspect there'll be more in 1 year in South America than people have been doing work for 20, 25 years. That he heard the Bhagavatam so that he would have the proper consciousness to do his service. But then before he began his service, he situated himself in the proper behavior. So thoughtful. And then he instructed, now this is also very wonderful. Now, he's the disciple. And because he's the disciple, he becomes the qualified guru. And therefore, he also takes the responsibility of disseminating this knowledge in disciplic succession. Narada, the most dear of the inheritor sons of Brahma, always ready to serve his father, strictly follows the instructions of his father by his mannerly behavior, meekness, and sense control. So Sukadeva now is explaining how this knowledge of the Bhagavatam is disseminated. So look at the qualifications of Narada. Shilena, good behavior. Shushushamana, always ready to serve. Prashrayana, by meekness. Damena, by sense control. Priyatama, he's very dear to his father. Narada very much pleased his father and desired to know all about the energies of Vishnu, the master of all energies. For Narada was the greatest of all sages and the greatest of all devotees. So he was Mahamuni Mahabhagavata. That's what the verse says. Mahabhagavato Rajan. It says, Mayam Vividisham Vishnur, desiring to know about the energies of God. Mayeshasya Mahamuni Mahabhagavato Rajan. Pitaram Paryatoshina. He's very, very much pleased, his father, and desiring to know all about the energies of Vishnu, the master of all energies. For Narada was the greatest. For Narada was the greatest of all devotees. So Prabhupada discusses how he was the best son because he had three sons. One son was Daksha, so he was in charge of Karmakanda. The other was the four Kumaras who were Jnanakanda. So he was in charge of Upasanakanda, devotional service. And so he satisfied him. It's funny, before inquiring and before getting the knowledge, he tries to satisfy him sincerely. Of course, ultimately, what will satisfy the teacher or the guru, what will satisfy Lord Brahma is the faith. He actually offers himself disobedience, the sense control, ready to serve. It's all an indication of his sincerity to take that knowledge, to take the absolute truth and be prepared to serve the absolute truth. So he's anxious to know about the about Krishna and Krishna's energies. And Prabhupada quotes the Bhagavad Gita that this is actually what a devotee needs, that he's anxious to understand about Krishna and Krishna's energy. Machita machita prana bodhiyantas parasparam kantiyantas timam nityam kishyanti charimantam. The devotee is eager. It's his duty. It's the duty of everyone to ask from the about the unlimited Lord, from the spiritual master in the disciplic succession. This is the duty. So we can see how the disciplic succession is carried on by that eagerness to understand. And to understand what? To understand the absolute truth. Why? Because you want to be Krishna's servant. If you don't want to be Krishna's servant, then there's no need to have the absolute truth. Because the absolute truth makes you Krishna's servant. Anyway, we'll go on. We'll try to finish the chapter. Krishnam nishamya pitaram lokanam prapitamaham devarshi paripapracha bhavanya manu prichati. The great sage Narada inquired in detail from his father, Brahma, the great grandfather of the universe, after seeing him well satisfied. And Prabhupada quotes the process of getting transcendental knowledge. Tadviri paripatena pariprashnena sevya upadeshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatsadarshanam. That one must be surrendered and in a mood of service to get the absolute truth. Because the absolute truth puts you in a position of service. So you can't get the absolute truth unless you're sincerely in the mood of service. Otherwise, it has no relation or meaning to you. The absolute, most knowledge that we get is we get knowledge to serve us in our desire to control and enjoy. But the absolute truth is knowledge that is to be served. So unless you're in that sincere mood, you won't get that knowledge. And that's why the disciple, the mood of submissiveness is an expression of his desire to be Krishna's servant. And therefore he's willing to be ruled by the truth, no matter what that does to his environment, whether the truth takes away something in his environment that he's attached to, whether the truth adds something to his environment that he doesn't like. But he's submissive. Kinkari, what you want, I will do. And when one's in that mood, and therefore obedient to that absolute truth, then very easily the absolute truth can come. Very easily the absolute truth can come. But if one wants to remain the controller and enjoyer and doesn't want his environment changed, then he will remain independent, rebellious. He doesn't want anybody to control, because he's attached to his environment for his own enjoyment. Nor is he interested really in any. Resistance to the truth. And therefore the truth really can't be given, nor will one really, accept it. So you can see that Narada, he satisfied him. He's very serious about wanting to have this truth and lead his life by it, no matter what that means. Thereupon, the supplementary Vedic literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, which was described by the personality of Godhead and which contains 10 characteristics, is told with satisfaction by the father Brahma to his son. So these four verses had 10 characteristics. I think Prabhupada said, it says, Jadmadhya says the beginning that the four verses in which the Lord, which is said that the Lord is the root of everything that be, beginning, naturally explain the 10. One should not misunderstand by wrong interpretation that the Lord spoke only four verses and therefore the rest of the 17,995 are useless. The 10 characteristics, as will be explained in the next chapter, require so many verses just to explain them properly. So it's the same knowledge, it's just expanded for explanation. So this is the 10th subject, and Prabhupada says that, explaining Srimad Bhagavatam being the sound representation of the Lord is simultaneously explained in four verses and in 4 billion verses, all the same, insomuch as the Lord is smaller than the atom and bigger than the unlimited. Such is the potency of the Bhagavatam. It's chit shakti. So it's actually Krishna, and by studying it deeply and discussing it deeply, you can understand that the Bhagavatam actually has a life of its own. In succession, O King, the great sage Narada instructed Srimad Bhagavatam unto the unlimitedly powerful Vyas, who meditated in devotional service upon the Supreme Personality of God, the Absolute Truth, on the bank of the Sarasvati. So Sukadeva Goswami, he started from explaining this question, what is the Lord's form and transcendence? It told the story where Lord Brahma saw the Lord and got instructed by the Supreme Lord. The Bhagavatam was spoken. And then Krishna just instructed Brahma that, just become fixed in this and you'll never become disturbed by pride. And then Sukadeva Goswami began to explain how this was disseminated in the cyclic succession. And then he concludes, O King, your question as to how the universe became manifested from the gigantic form of the personality of Godhead, as well as your other questions, I shall answer in detail by explanation of the four verses already mentioned. So this is very interesting. This is the third question. So he's saying, O King, your next question about how the universe became manifested from the gigantic form of the Supreme Lord. Your next question about the universal form. Now, I will explain to you in reference to these four verses of the Bhagavatam. In other words, initially he was just explaining them. The first question, he just, you know, how does the pure soul come in contact with the body? He explained. The second question was about the Lord's form, and he explained by this story. And within this story, somehow or other, about the Lord's form, came the story of how the Bhagavatam was spoken. And now Sukadeva Goswami is becoming so excited when he's explaining the disciplic succession of the Bhagavatam and how it was, you know, four verses and then 10 subject matters and expanded in disciplic succession. See, now he's saying, I will answer all your questions in reference to, I'll answer your next question in reference to the Bhagavatam. And the most amazing thing happens here. Because the next chapter is Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. So what he does is, he begins, Sukadeva Goswami begins to explain the 10 subject matters of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then when he explains the 10th subject matter, it's Ashraya. And Ashraya means that, basically Ashraya means that Krishna is the supreme shelter of everything. So it explained that concept of the Ashraya. He begins to explain the universal form as the Ashraya, what is it? Ashrayasraya. As the shelter of everything, because when you understand the creation, you'll see this description, universal form again. Originally, everything's in the Virat Purusha, when he wanted a taste, the senses. And so, in other words, everything has an interdependence. Ashraya means Swarat, or independent. That's what Ashraya means. So the 10th subject matter is about Krishna, who is independent. So to explain how Krishna is independent, he explains how everything in this universe is based originally on the universal form. That's the answer to the third question. So he explained in relationship to the Bhagavatam those 10 subjects, because he, when describing the 10 subjects of the Bhagavatam, the 10th subject answers his third question. So it's very interesting, but we'll see also that Shonaka Rishi, he hears again about the universal form, but changes the subject. Okay.